To be used, it's better to be read.
Amen.
Pick your Bible up. If you want to see how someone's growing in Christ, look at their Bible. If their Bible is starting to fall apart and wrinkled and highlighted, that means they're studying God's Word.
Amen.
The Word of God needs to be used. It needs to be picked up. And there are so many people today that are dying during the week spiritually because they're not eating. They're not feeding themselves. Imagine if someone... Well, I'll just say this, if you was a baby, if you have grandchildren, you have babies, nieces and nephews, and we love babies, but babies can't feed themselves. You have to take the spoon and you have to feed that baby.
Amen.
You have to make sure that baby gets nourishment and food. But eventually, guess what happens to that baby? Eventually that baby grows and that baby learns how to eat his food again. And then before you know it, they're teenagers, they're eating your house down, and then you don't know what to do. I mean, it all happens, but they're feeding themselves, and some of them don't stop eating. But then my point is this, there's too many Christians today, too many babes in Christ who are still relying on people to feed them. And I mean they are still babes in Christ after 20, 30 years of knowing Jesus. They're not learning how to feed themselves. Learn how to feed yourself. Read God's Word. We have too many weak Christians that don't know the Word of God. I want to read this article to you as I've been studying this sermon. And these statistics really do not surprise me, but they do surprise me. Christianity Today magazine and Christianity Today magazine, this is what the article said. Christians claim to believe the Bible is God's Word. We claim it's God's divine, inspired, and relevant message to us, yet despise this, we aren't reading it. A recent Lifeway research study found only 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. Now these are 45% of people, those who regular attend church Sunday after Sunday or even on Wednesdays, only 45% of those read the Bible more than once a week. 45%. Over 40% of the people attending reading their Bible occasionally, maybe once or even twice a month. Now that's about 30 to 31 days in a month's time. And that means these people surveyed only pick the Bible up maybe once or twice a month. Almost one in five churchgoers say they never read the Bible. One in five churchgoers say they never read the Bible, except on Sunday morning when they listen to the preacher. Essentially the same number who reads it every day. Because we don't read God's Word, it follows that we don't know God's Word. We have a biblical illiteracy in this country.
Amen.
People don't read God's Word anymore. They don't know what it says anymore. Because we don't understand it, we don't read it. To understand the effects, we can look at the statistics of another Western country, the United Kingdom. Listen to their statistics. United Kingdom Bible Society surveyed British children and found many could not identify common Bible stories. When given a list of stories, almost one in three didn't choose a nativity as part of the Bible, and over half, 59% of these surveyed, didn't know that Jonah being swallowed by the great fish is in the Bible. They thought it was a fictional story. British parents didn't do much better. They asked the moms and dads. Around 30% of parents don't even know who Adam and Eve are. David and Goliath or even the Good Samaritan are even in the Bible. To make matters worse, 27% think Superman is a biblical story. The comic book Superman is a biblical story. More than one in three believe the same about Harry Potter. And more than 54% believe the Hunger Games is from the Bible. But it's more than simple knowing from scriptures. Our lack of biblical illiteracy has led to a lack of biblical doctrine. Listen to this survey. Lifeway research found that while 67% of Americans believe heaven is a real place, 45% believe there are many ways to get there. Christians. 67% of Americans believe, not Christians, 67% of Americans believe that heaven's a real place in this survey, and 45% say there are many ways to get to heaven. Unbelievable. Including one in five evangelical Christians. One in five. More than half of evangelicals, 59%, believe that the Holy Spirit is a force and not a personal being. In contrast to orthodox biblical teaching of the Trinity, being three persons is a God. As a whole, Americans, including many Christians, wholly hold unbiblical views on hell, sin, salvation, Jesus, humanity, and the Bible itself. They don't know. They don't pick the Word up. And a lot of times it's because they rely on a preacher to tell them. But let me have news for you. Some preachers in the pulpit ain't preaching God's word. Amen. They're preaching a good feel-good message and ain't telling you the whole truth.
Amen.
Now listen, I've told people this is my ministry. If I say something that you believe is wrong, please, my wife will tell you. Come talk to me. We'll look. I'll make mistakes. But I'm going to tell you, when I stand behind this holy pulpit of God, I want to make sure that I'm telling you the right thing because it's my responsibility.
Amen.
I don't have to give an account. I want to make sure that my flock knows who Jesus is and how to get to heaven.
Amen.
Because when I die one day, I want to make sure that I stand up before Almighty God and He's like, well done, Mike. You told them how to get here.
Amen.
If they don't know, they didn't listen. But there's a lot of preachers that don't tell you that. There's a little excuse for anyone living in Western civilization. This is what the survey said. There is little excuse for anyone living in Western civilization, particularly Christians who do not know or read the Bible. 9 out of 10 homes in America have at least one Bible. One Bible. The average American, Christian or not, owns at least 3 Bibles. Have 3 Bibles. You know how many I have? I can give you a Bible. If you want Bibles, I can give you some Bibles. Look, you need one? I gave my son one the other day and signed it for him. I got a Bible in 1994 as a teenager when I was recognized for an event. Now he's holding it up. It's got Michael Watts on it. His name is Michael Scott Watts Jr. I signed it for him in the thing and I get in the cover and I gave it to him. I said, son, this Bible is 1994. I'm going to give it to you. Use it. It's highlighted and everything. When I was a teenager boy, I said, take that Bible. Because, listen, I don't use that Bible no more. I've got Bibles. And my wife will tell you that when I see people who need a Bible, I'll go to my office a lot of times, I'll grab a Bible off a shelf, sign it for them, and give it to them and say, here's a Bible. Use it. Bibles ain't supposed to be on a shelf. It's supposed to be used.
Amen. Amen.
That's one thing. You need to use your Bible. Listen to this now. And technology has put Bibles at our fingertips. Wherever you are, you can download the Bible. On your phone.
Amen.
On your iPad. On your Samsung Galaxy. Whatever. You can download your Bible. I've got my Bible app right here. I can go to it right here. Bible app. And I can type in the Bible verse. And I can go. There it is right there. Even told me a verse of the day. Galatians 5:24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. I can even look at my Bible verses. A daily devotion on your Bible.
Amen.
Listen. We say we don't have time for that too in society. In contrast, most Christians desire to become more mature followers of Christ. Lifeway research found 90% of churchgoers desire to please and honor Jesus in all they do. Almost 60% agree with that statement. Throughout the day, the person who wrote this article says, I find myself thinking about biblical truths. It's striking that while most of us desire to please Jesus, few of us take the time to check the Bible to find out if we're actually doing it. Clearly, there's a disconnect.
Truth.
So we have Christians that are weak and are hungry and need to be fed. They get fed at worship services, but they don't stay fed. They are spiritually hungry. My question today, church, is this. When is the last time you fed yourself instead of getting fed?
Amen.
When is the last time you have fed yourself? I'm going to take my coat off and that's okay. I'm a little warm today. All right. So I'm just getting warmed up. All right. So we're going to preach God's word, the word, the sermon here today. Now, so what does God's word do? It strengthens us. God's word strengthens us. Paul was a man on a mission to kill Christians, but the Bible says that he was there and he was getting fed. He was getting strengthened. And I don't believe he was just getting physically fed. I believe he was getting spiritual fed. And he was getting spiritual fed. And he was getting stronger to face today. Listen, if you're down in the dumps, won't you open up Psalms? Look at the book of Psalms. If you've got some problems, look in the Bible. If you want to see what's been going on in your life, or study the life of David, or study the life of Paul. If you want to see how things, when things get rough, go open the book of Job and learn about Job's life. Boy, there are stories in the Bible. If you want to know how the world's going to end, open the book of Revelation and read the Bible and tell you.
Amen.
Jesus is today, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He does not change.
Amen.
People want to know how to grow in God. Well, read your Bible. Don't depend on a preacher to preach it for you. The only job as a preacher is to give you a little bit of the story. As Paul Harvey says, that's the rest of the story. You go find out the rest of the story.
Amen.
We need to get back of studying God's Word. Look at your Bible. I'll give you a challenge. Look at your Bible and see how good it still looks. Maybe your Bible is about 5 or 10 years old. See if it still looks like it just come off the shelf. See if it still looks brand new. See if it's torn up a little bit, your pages are torn. That's okay. Listen, tear it up to the point that you got to go buy a new one and keep that one for a reminder.
Amen.
I bought my father-in-law a Bible a couple years ago. He's a preacher, and he loved his Bible. And I mean, his Bible, my wife would tell you, he had that Bible for years. I mean, I think he had that thing for 20 years or more. And that Bible was falling apart. He was preaching so much in it. And it was his study Bible. And he says, I need to go get that thing redone. Well, it costs a lot to get a Bible redone. It's almost cheaper to go buy a new Bible. And this thing was just torn. I mean, he would open it up, it was taped. It was just taped up. And so, for Father's Day one year, I went to the store, and during this time, they had a very special Bible. It was the 400th anniversary of the King James Study Bible. 400-year anniversary. And they didn't make many of those, and I found them at a Bible store, and I bought it. I got his name engraved on it, gave it to him. He put that Bible to the side as a reminder. And now he's using his new Bible. And you should see his new Bible. And that's all messed up now and torn and stuff. My wife had a Bible her daddy gave her when she was a young child. And many Christmases ago, I remember, bought my wife a Bible. Her Bible was tearing apart. I mean, she had this Bible, and she opened it up. I mean, she was studying as a young girl, and all the way to her 20s, and was married, and it was just falling apart. I mean, she picked the Bible up. She probably remembers it, and it was just falling apart. It was tape. I mean, she had Scotch tape on it. I was like, my gosh, you need a new Bible. And I bought her a new Bible, and I gave it to her. Now she has that Bible. Now it's starting to have wrinkles and stuff in it. Now you would say, well, Brother Mike, that's preachers, or that's the preacher's wife and all that. It don't make no difference. Amen. We still the same people. You got to study God's Word. You think a preacher just sits around all during the week and studies God's Word to preach a sermon to people? No, he don't. He's got to study his own life to learn God's Word. Amen. You got to do devotions and learning. It's the same principle. So Paul was getting strength by standing there, and God was building him up, and he increased. In verse 22, it says, he increased the more in strength. Well, listen, if you want to get stronger in your walk with God, why don't you read the Bible?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Well, Brother Mike, I don't understand the Bible. But the Holy Spirit will help you understand the Bible.
Amen.
God will send you people to help you understand the Bible. That's what God does, and you ask. Now, strength. Strength is one. Now, what else does it do? It shapes us. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the divine asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen.
And you look at the way the world shapes us today with our media and morals today, and look how God shapes us. The world and society shapes us to be like the world, to believe like the world, to think like the world. But God shapes us not to think of the ways of man, but
Amen.
To think of His ways. His ways are not our ways.
Amen.
Now, I think about this. It used to be, I was talking to someone the other day, it used to be that you could have a disagreement with somebody. If me and Marvin, for a minute, if we had a disagreement back in the day, I'm just using, even today I think we'll be okay, but I'm going to use this as an illustration. But if me and Marvin back in the day had a disagreement, and you know, on the streets or something, we'd still be okay. We'd be agree to disagree, and we'd move on. We'd still be friends. But in today's time, if a person like me and Marvin get together in today's time and we argue, then I'll be done with him, and he'll be done with me because I don't agree with what he thinks. That's the way the world is today.
Amen.
If you don't agree with this, then you're just not friends anymore with him.
Amen.
I mean, that's not right. We are not, you know, because if especially in today's time, if your ways are a god, nobody wants to hear that. That's an old lost story. That's about a man thousands of times a change, man. Man, you know, Jesus taught was many years ago. Man, this is the 21st century, man. We in brand new times, 2016. But let me tell you something. If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever,
Amen.
It's the same. It don't matter. Do you think?
Amen.
Do you think Jesus dealt with things back in his day? Absolutely. He dealt with adulteries. He dealt with things. He dealt with the society of back then and everything. But Jesus was able to love them.
Amen.
And we should be able to love them. So God's Word shapes us. Can we see the difference in God's ways and the world's ways? Now, how was Paul changed? Look at verses 23 through 28. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. I mean, Saul's walking in. The disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in basket. But look at this. After the many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul. The Holy Spirit told him about this, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Now let's go with this. If Saul and Paul was walking to them, They would have thought a terrorist was coming. Oh, no, you better be running. Paul is coming. But look what, I want you to keep looking at this. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he saved to join himself to the disciples. And they were all afraid of him and believed not he was a disciple. But look at verse 27. I love verse 27. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles. He takes him to the apostles, declaring to them how he had seen the Lord in the way that he had spoken to him, and now he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And he was with them coming and going out of Jerusalem. Now we must understand, we must read God's word. It's no ifs, it's no ands, or no buts. We must read it and hide it in our heart. Paul hid God's word in his heart. He knew what the Bible said. He knew what Jesus had told him. And Barnabas had seen the change in him and went to him. Through God's Holy Spirit, he can change our course and help us make a 180. And that's exactly what Saul did. He made a 180. Isaiah 43:19 says this, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert."
Amen.
I'm going to change your way, brother. I'm going to change your way, sister. Listen, God's word is still the same.
Amen.
Also, we know that God is still there for us. It changes us. It helps us. It leads us. It strengthens our life today. Now, it also sustains us. Sustain means this: uphold, affirm, or confirm the justice or validity of. The Bible, God's word, sustains.
Amen.
And when he changes your life, it sustains, it upholds.
Amen.
It strengthens, it shapes, it sustains. 1 Peter 1:25 says this, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Amen to that. Look with me, if you would, in 29-31. "And he spake," or spoke, "boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesar and sent him forth to Tarsus." Then all, I love what this last verse of 31 says. This will be our final point here. "Then all the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort," and the comfort of the Holy Ghost, "were multiplied."
Amen.
They were changed. We need to have fear of the Lord. We need to reach God's word and be strengthened. We need to be shaped, and it will sustain us.
Amen.
We'll say that again. Listen to that. We need to reach God, read God's word. We will be strengthened. We will be shaped, and it will sustain us.
Amen.
It will stay with us. So how do we leave here today to take back to our lives? This is the notes I wrote down to myself. I want to share with you. How do we leave here today to take it back to our lives, back to our house? Number one, you ask God for help.
Amen.
Ask God for help. Number two, you ask for your godly family and friends to help keep you accountable.
Amen.
Say, get somebody, say, "Hey, listen, husband, wife, friend, whoever, co-worker, say, listen, I'll start this Bible study. I'm going to start reading God's word. I'm going to start reading this devotion. Can you help me? Can you remind me of to read this?" Have accountability partner. Number three, make it a habit.
Amen.
Make it a habit. Get in that habit. Make time for God. Number four, come to church to learn more and small group studies like Sunday school. Get involved in church. Get involved in Sunday school. Get involved in small group studies. Listen, if you've got a husband and wife, or if you've got some kids or something, open your Bible. Turn the TV off. Turn the radio. Get the iPads going. Whatever. Or even use the iPad, your Bible app, and start a devotion. Start learning about God's Word. Start your kids asking questions about it. Listen, if you start doing that, I guarantee you on the authority of God's Word, if you start having those Bible studies with kids, if you've got young kids or grandkids in here, and you start doing that, they will be molded, they will be shaping, and the Word of God will sustain them.
Amen.
They will understand. I'm going to tell you something. Either you can teach them, either God's Word will teach them, or either that world's going to teach them.
That's
which
right.
One do you want?
Amen.
I'll take God.
Amen.
Let God teach them. Let God teach them. And finally, be obedient to God's Holy Spirit. Listen to God. I'm going to give you that rundown again in case you was taking notes. Number one, ask God for help. Number two, ask for your godly family and friends to help keep you accountable. Number three, make it a habit.
Amen.
Number four, come to church and learn more in small groups like Sunday school. And number five, be obedient to God's Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
I've got to say in here, I'm going to leave it with you today. Only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, a victim into a victory.
Amen.
And listen to me. It's time to dust that old Bible off you, off the coffee table or the bookcase, wherever it is. Get your Bible out and start opening it up and start looking at the treasures, the riches of God's Word.
Amen.
I promise you, there is more treasure, there is more blessings in this Bible than there is in $1 million. Because $1 million will be spent. $1 million will burn in this world. But God's Word still tests the test of time.
Amen.
Saw on social media the other day, someone had gotten a fire, lost the fire. House had lost. The only thing that didn't burn was the Bible. You know, I've heard many stories like that, that God's Word still stands the test of time. I never will forget, close this with you. We was living in Arkansas, and I never will forget the story. It was the Hess family, Bubba Hess, Misty Hess. And I was doing a Wednesday night Bible study and with the teenagers, and Bubba and Misty had come and kind of came down and helped us a little bit. And Misty had come in that night right before Bible study. Brother Mike, she says, pray for us. Our house is on fire. Our trailer's on fire. It was up in flames. Gone. I mean, it was burnt to a crisp. Man. And I remember me and my family, my wife and me, went the next day to help them sort the things out. We started going through the things. And in the corner, I never will forget, there was a cross. In the corner was a Bible. Sitting there. And the pages was untouched.
Amen.
The Bible was untouched. And that fire was all around there. But God's Word never got touched.
Amen.
Bubba had brought that Bible church Sunday to my pastor. I was a youth pastor. Brought it to my pastor and me. He asked me, he said, Brother Mike, can I share the testimony? He says, I want you to say the words. He said, he was kind of shy. I didn't want to stand in front of people. And he says, I want you to share that. And I brought that Bible up and it was all smoked up and stuff. I said, you see this, folks? I said, this is the Bible that was in the Hess home. But it didn't burn. Once you open that Bible up and learn the treasures of it.
Amen.
God is still on His throne. And God wants to hear of His children.
Amen.
Will you join me? Will you take the challenge? Will you start a Bible study? Will you open God's Word? And if you do, I believe that we will continue to see revival in Cedar Hill Baptist Church. Open the Word of God. Let's learn it together. And we're all trying to get to the same place. Amen.
Amen.
And I don't care what that survey says. Because people think there's many ways to heaven. My dear friends, there's only one way to heaven.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ paid that penalty so you didn't have to take it. And all you have to do is trust in Him and He'll lead you to heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Through Christ. You can't get there by yourself. We're filthy. We're dirty. We're rags and riches. We're rags. But God makes us rich by His blood.
Amen.
So let's trust in Him. I want to ask Ms. Gladys and our musicians to come up today. And I want to close in a word of prayer. If God spoke to you today, I want you to come to this altar. I want you to pray. And maybe you want to take the challenge today of reading God's Word. And you're going to say, Brother Mike, I'm going to make it a habit more to read God's Word. I'm going to get up 5 minutes early. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to shut my TV off a little bit earlier. I'm going to shut the news off a little bit, or the Tonight Show, or whatever you watch at night. I'm going to look at God's Word. And the last thing I'm going to read before I go to bed every night is going to be God's Word. Maybe that's your challenge. I don't know what God spoke to you with, but I'm going to just leave that with you and God. Father, I thank you for this message, God, you laid upon my heart. God, it's been on my heart all week, Lord. I've been excited all week to preach this message. Looking forward to Sunday, God, to preach this message that you've laid upon my heart. I pray that I have done what you've asked me to do. I pray that it has blessed folks. It has helped us. We will pick our Bibles up more. I'm guilty of it, Lord. I need to pick my Bible up more and study more. We all get caught up in life. But God, help us make it a habit to study your Word. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. Now, God, you lead us, you guide us, you direct us. And let you have your way with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, the same hymn number.
287.